Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is New York City-based musician Raya Waz. In 2024, Waz released the EP Captain Obvious Piano Version, a collection of six songs originally from the Captain Obvious album performed on piano. The EP is not only a celebration of her distinct writing and performance styles, but also a return to her first instrument, the piano. In this conversation, Waz discusses the recording of the EP, as well as her views on how compositions evolve, and much more. That's on Into Music, coming up now. You had started kind of playing piano again at some point after some time away, presumably, and started reconnecting. Well, let's start there. Tell me about reconnecting with the piano.
Piano's my first instrument and was like the big, like, motivating instrument of my musical studies as a kid. I played piano for a long time before I started singing and wrote songs, but was like, you know, writing instrumental songs. I was just like, I really identified as a piano player from like quite young. And I studied piano in school for college and played out of college. And just, I think I got a little turned around on the instrument and on the, you know, like you study something for so long, and your teachers and the many voices that have like contributed to your study of the instrument can like really get in your head. Just felt like I sort of lost a sense of myself. And I was feeling so connected to singing, and I was getting a lot of work singing backup and doing jingles. And I just kind of like reoriented and was feeling so fluid as a singer. I was not feeling fluid as a piano player. And I really set the instrument down for a while, which was surprising to everyone around me who knew me really as a pianist. but I just really needed a breather. And what's funny about how this sort of has surprised me of like the how and why of playing piano again. This EP that's coming out is our piano versions of a full-length LP that was the first LP that I produced entirely. I had producer credits on my own records till then, but I really made this. Like, this is really mine. And I didn't play a lot of piano on it. It's like very multi-instrumental. I played lots of other instruments. It's not a piano-heavy record. And so like when I finished that record and was starting to think about talking about being the main producer on the record and all that, simultaneously I was like, man, wouldn't it be cool if the release shows are just solo piano, just to like prove that the songs are really stand up and that they're good on their own outside of all the production. So funny. I think I'm really a balancing, like I always tip the scale in one way or another and then like find myself rebalancing.
And too, listening to the album, it is so layered and rich with sound and everything. Tell me about that too, about that decision for you to produce the album yourself instead of bringing somebody in. Was it just like, nobody's going to understand this as well as I do?
A little bit. Yeah, it was a little bit by circumstance, because I started writing the record right before COVID. You know, and I found myself very much alone in my studio, especially at a time when I would have like taken demos and like gone to trusted producers and friends and started like bringing in collaborators. There was that piece. And also the producers that I'd worked with till that point, both had brought me into other projects as a producer and really were encouraging me and really trying to get me to get my own head around that. Like when I was bringing demos to them, there was production, you know, it wasn't just like sketches, and that I really had a voice as a producer. So it was really with the encouragement of previous producers and collaborators of mine that I felt kind of bolstered to like keep going. That and the time and the isolation of pandemic. And then I hit a couple of plateaus where I was really like, oh, I'm reaching like a technical limit. There's like a limit to my knowledge. I don't trust myself. Do I even know who do I think I am? Do I know what I'm doing? That felt actually like a sort of, in a nutshell, also what the record was about. It was very much like form imitating function and like cyclically. And it just was a space that I felt like for this music, it was worth staying in and staying in the discomfort of whether I knew what I was doing or not. I learned, especially in the process of mixing, this is the first being the main producer, it's the first mix process that I entered as like the first ears, the one giving all the notes, the one like guiding the mix process and having to translate the whole vision of it. And it was in mixing that I really, really concretized, like, not, I know exactly what I want. I know what I'm hearing. I know what I like. I know what I'm going for. And actually it was very validating going through mix and being like, no, I really meant that. There was no question in between. But it was cool. It was a big challenge and it was so much fun. And there was so much I already knew how to do that I just wasn't like totally confident on yet.
So you make this decision to do these shows with solo piano, and what was that process like to because you were there when the songs came into being, but to hear them in this setting where all the production stuff is absent and everything like that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I did a weird thing where when I started arranging the show, it's a through composed show that I intended to perform. And when I started arranging it, I was doing it from memory. And I've really solid recall on pitch and on arrangements. I have a very strong musical memory, but I misremembered a couple things that I didn't realize I'd misremembered till well after the fact, like till entirely making an arrangement for a full band and realizing I'd put a song like a half step lower by accident, or like I misinterpreted the chorus. But I took it, I sat down at the piano and just started playing my songs. I really didn't one to one against the record I'd made, which it also was interesting and I think helped the arrangements come out of me as fluidly as the record came out of me without needing the record to be like the like absolute reference, you know? And it was hard. It was hard to like learn my songs. I don't write and compose like in like a sort of like chordal organized fashion. I like really the production really guides the evolution of the song. The lyrics come last. It's very like soundscape oriented. So like most of the songs I didn't know what key they were in. I'd never bothered to figure it out. Like it was like a lot of relearning and reorienting myself with what I'd already made, which was such a delight. It was like going a couple years back in a dirt journal or something and like thinking, trying to rethink through what I was thinking about and where I was coming from. So it was hard in that sense. And then exactly what you said, when I really started playing it in full, like playing the record top to bottom and hearing it back at me in this way, it like really freaked me out. It was really powerful. I definitely got nervous the first time I did it, I played it for some small groups of friends to sort of be like, is this music? Like, is this a thing? And I definitely got scared at how potent it felt. You know, it was like really, yeah, I freaked myself out a little bit, but I did it and I played the whole thing and it was really intense. And then, as I said in my little artist statement, after the first show, the question was really like, when are you doing this again? Which surprised me. I really thought I would do it once for release week for the full release of Cap'n Obvious and then never do it again. And then I had to do it again.
I want to touch on something you mentioned because, you know, this idea of remembering a piece. And it's so funny because there are so many times where I'll hear musicians say like, oh, well, that's how I played. You know, they'll have like a guitar solo or something that kids have spent their entire lives trying to learn. And then they'll play it in a video or something. And it's totally different than it was 30 years ago. And it's like, I think it's also that power of music as being a living, breathing thing, and the musician taking the person they are now into the music.
That's the best as musicians. I feel like that's the best we can hope for. I don't make music in order to create something finished, done. I'll never touch it again. It'll only be this exact way. Like a recording is a snapshot, which is so special. But for me, I really identify as a performer. And every time I revisit the work, I want to find a new way into it. And I want to be reignited by it, and I want to be like, you know, it's a self-exploration process also. That's like really part of the joy of being a musician and letting the music like live in your body and come out of your body when you perform it.
So this question emerged of when are you going to do this again? You're thinking that this is kind of a one-off thing, and you're reconnected with piano. So that had to be like a real affirmation that this is the right thing at this moment. It's a little bit of a risk, but something's happening with it.
Yeah, it really was. It was an affirmation that it was the right thing at the moment, maybe mostly for my audience. Like, I think because I felt like I kind of did it and I was proud that I did it, I maybe was a little more ready to move on. But acknowledging, especially the first show, it was at this venue in Brooklyn, and I set it in the round, and I could just really feel how much the people around me needed the way this was happening. It was so stripped down, and like it just felt so intimate. And acknowledging that like there was maybe a little bit of a need that I could meet through this, and like who am I to be like no? Like even though I kind of might want to, yeah, that helped me get over my sort of like fears and or like apprehension about like continuing to do it this way. It's also funny, like singers and songwriters and musicians, there are always these funny kind of pigeonholes that people want to like push you into. And in the beginning of my career, I was really like nudged into like, there was a word, people were always calling me a chanteuse, and it just drove me crazy. And there's like this piano playing singer who's like an alto, in like and I love her, but like in the Norah Jones, like people really wanted me to be that. And I resisted that so much. I think I also felt a little freaked out of being like, no, 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 this isn't like what I do now. I'm not just piano girl, but it felt so genuine and so aligned. And so I was like, okay, I'll do this again and I'll record it and see what happens. I really was very, every step of the way though, was like, I'll do this one more time and I'll record it and I don't have to use it. And I'll like, I didn't do it feeling like I'll record it, I'll put it out, we'll do, I really was like, we'll see, do it once more and I'll see. I had to give myself a lot of permission to like, just try and not have to do anything with it.
So what was the process of recording it like in this setting as opposed to, last time?
It was so cool. So the second time I did the show, I did it in LA, and I decided to do it in a studio so that we'd have some more control over the recording itself. I got a recording from the first show that was great actually, but it was just like a stereo pair, and there's a lot of bleed because there's no isolation. I probably could have like souped it up and thought about it and sort of like edited some type of thing from that first recording, but I wanted to be really intentional about the way things sounded to create some type of isolation if I could by nature being in a studio, and also to really hone the sounds like earlier in the day. So I was at a studio in Alhambra in Los Angeles. And the engineer and I, and actually I brought in a producer. I brought in a producer that's a longtime collaborator of mine, Mika Jasper, and asked him just to sit in the control room and just to help me be extra eyes. Cause I felt like my mind was so divided. We're like setting up the chairs, we're getting the sounds. I want to like track some pre-roll stuff. And it's hard to imagine also being the producer of the thing. So I brought him in just to kind of sit and be present. And even just thinking about performing for him and how what he might say about a take, I was like, oh, I'll just the presence, his presence would help me draw a good performance. Anyway, the engineer, Mika, and I tuned up the sounds, and then they were like, just take a couple passes, like just like, give it a whirl. And so I played through some stuff and got some feedback and like did that a couple times. I didn't do the whole show and I didn't do it in order. But I'd had an idea about which songs I thought I would really want to have piano versions of. And so I did those and then just kind of let it be. And then took a break and ate dinner, and then doors opened and everybody came in, and I like really did the show, did the whole drama of the show. And then I listened back to both. And because the circumstances and the context was so consistent, it was pretty hard to tell which was which, like which was with the audience and which was without, which was interesting because I'd had a theory that the audience draws a particular type of performance out of me, and I was pretty consistent between the two, which was interesting. And I sat with the recordings for a while and then just started cutting. And, I didn't have multiple takes of the live version. I only had the one pass, but I did have multiple takes of the earlier versions. And I was finding it was interesting to like mix takes within one song. So, like, the interesting thing about this piano versions is that there's some energetic shifts mid-song that are so subtle, and they're created by using the verse and the first chorus from the pre-audience and then going into the second chorus and the outro of the audience of the attended version, like really full on. And I like really proud of producing that. It felt like a weird collagey, very subtle production move, but it really like lit me up. And I also cut it continuously. So I picked a section of the show that I could just like bob and weave between. So the EP plays continuously, which I really, as just like a music nerd, that feels like I'm really checking off a box of something I'd always wanted to do. Like put something out that was basically one 16-minute track, cut up. Making the decision about where to cut was very difficult also. So yeah, it was really different than making the record, and also not. I don't know. I got my production hat on now,
Well, and it sounds like for you, production and composition are kind of the same thing in a way.
Yeah, I was like trained in jazz and improvised music, and I played jazz music for like forever. And I have my relationship with composition. It relates to what you're saying about like musicians changing things in performance, being willing to like shape shift, is not like finite. My relationship with composition feels there's always improvisation there every time, whether it's like literally, whether the song's literally changing or just my like into it is changing. I think you're really right that the like pr producing and something about producing and composing and spontaneity of improvisation are like one for me in my experience of music.
So there is a possibility that this EP will be the first thing that some people will hear of your work. So how do you feel about that? Because it's different from the album and so on and so forth.
Totally. I think I have made peace with the idea that I'm a really shape-shifting artist, and that there's probably always a moment where someone is going to be exposed to my work in a really specific manner, and it'll be there, that will be therein, and then they'll see the other things and be like, oh, interesting. I just think I'm not after, I think I've made peace with the idea that I'm going to be a shapeshifter, and that like people will find me for specific things and hopefully are into like the full rabbit hole of my like catalog of work. But I'm also like really okay with this piano record being someone's favorite record, and then being like, I like it better than the fully produced record, or vice versa. I think it's sort of what I was saying I felt in the show is like, the folks there that day, like I felt like weirdly needed to be played piano too. We need different things at different times. I for sure, as a listener, feel that way. Yeah, I think it's okay. I think I'm okay with it.
So, do you have ideas about like kinds of records that you'd like to make in the future, for instance?
I think that actually, as you say that, this EP was a kind of record I knew I wanted to make at a point, whether I would like admit that to myself or not. It was definitely like another like sort of check that box. The idea of a continuous piece for sure, a fully improvised record for sure. I would love to make one day. I would love to release a fully instrumental record. I think like I'm interested in mu music feels so big. And I really am interested in exploring the different like corners of it as I like experience it. And so like getting really thorough about just playing this just playing piano here, like just doing this piano record. In a lot of ways, Captain Obvious, the original LP, is a really thorough exploration of like this sort of like soundscapey, sample-y. I was like taking around my Zoom field recorder and like making these kind of like beds as the reference, where that created the whole tonal space. Like I really wanted to do that. Form again, like form and function feel like cyclical. So there's a lot about the like way things are made. I'd say maybe everything about the way things are made makes the thing worthwhile to make for me. So there's so like process. I imagine on that list is a lot of like process ideas, you know, like this is how we'll do this and how we'll do that. At the moment, I really don't know what comes next. I feel really present and like really right here in this like phase in the cycle of the larger Captain Obvious cycle, with this EP kind of like completing it. I'm really not sure what comes next, which is kind of scary.
You've been listening to a conversation with Raya Waz. Waz's latest release is the 2024 EP, Captain Obvious, piano version. You can learn more about Waz's music at Raya Waz, that's RAIAWAS.com. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast at KMUW.org, and we do welcome your questions and comments at info@KMUW.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.